Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Here we go. I'm feeling millennial today. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, new episode is posted at WGNplus.com. And of course, don't forget to go to the landing page at WGNplus.com. Entertainment section. Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, where you will find, in theory, 101 episodes up there for your binging and podcasting enjoyment, because this is episode number 102, or I should say 102, 102. It's not 102. I hate when people do that, and I hate when I just did that. You know, we always mix O and zero. It's O is the alphabet. It is not O. It is zero. 102. It's not 102. It's 102, or it's, you know, zero. If your number is, it's not 1065. It's 1065. Anyway, that's just my own little Piccadilly, but, or Piccadillo, not Piccadilly. Piccadilly is a circus. In England, Piccadillo is what that was. I'm very excited. If you are a regular listener to the podcast or when I'm on the radio every so often here at WGN, you'll know that I do a segment called the Millennial Meter, where in this day of the dominating millennial generation, those of us, and I'm in the middle, I'm not really a baby boomer. I'm, according to the designation, I'm a baby boomer, but I'm right on the last year, which makes no sense. I have very little in common with somebody who was born in 1944, 1945. And yet I'm not a Gen Xer because they're in the year after me. So I'm a tween, if you will. I'm an older tween. I'm not a teen tween. I'm an elder tween, but I'm definitely not a millennial. And so it's important that we all stay cool. It's important that we all trend. It's important that we all are in with the in scene. And so I have my own personal kind of sounding board. He is probably the most millennial person that I know or care to know. but he is my godson, Patrick. Patrick Minogue, welcome to the podcast. It's been a while.
Jim, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be back. It's been a minute.
It's been quite a while. Patrick's been busy with his career and his personal life. He's a father now. In fact, his son, Mighty Max, is approaching his first birthday.
That's right. It's coming up here in June.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that nuts?
It went quick. I mean, if we look back at our other previous podcasts, we could see how long it's been, but it seems like it went so fast.
Oh, my gosh. And I had a chance to see Patrick and his son a few weeks ago. And my gosh, he is Mighty Max, because he is thick. He is big. He's got a big, thick body.
He's a big boy. The wow. Boys will be looking at him soon, I think.
Yeah. I mean, my gosh. I mean, when he was born, he was a little underweight, and he was very small. He was long, but he was very thin. And as soon as he got home, you must have been giving him steaks or something to eat, because, my gosh. I mean, I was so worried, because I love when babies have those chubby little, wrists.
And
their thighs and right by their ankles. Yeah. It's just all chubby. And at the beginning, Max didn't have that. I was like, well, geez, I hope that that he gets that baby fat. Well, holy smokes.
Yeah, he caught up quick.
Oh, my God. You can't even you can't even pick him. Like, I was picking him up, and I like to, like, swing him up in the air. He's like, it's like I was a workout.
Yeah, it's definitely a workout. He has no problem eating. He really enjoys it.
Oh, man. And I must say that several months ago when I saw him as well, I saw some of the baby food he had. And there was this one. It's so cool that baby food now comes in those little plastic squeeze bags.
The pouches.
Almost. Yeah, the little pouches.
Yeah.
And I'm not what. So what? What is the what's the brand that you buy him?
Oh, I don't know. We a variety of brands.
But there's that one that was in that little bag. Anyway, I saw it, and it was pineapple banana, and I go, ooh, that sounds good. So I went to the store and I bought myself some pineapple banana. And I'll tell you,
Elton's in with the baby pouches. That's a classic.
Yeah, record. Well, you know what? It was better in theory.
Okay, so short lived.
That's a little baby food is a little sly. I mean, I don't know. It's an acquired taste. But it was low, 80 calories. That's not bad. It's a nice.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, it's like a nice snack. Although, I mean, Max must be eating about 70 of those a day.
Yeah, he goes through them pretty quickly. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! And then
cereal, some oatmeal.
Yeah,
he has no problem.
And what I love too is he's always smiling. He's just a happy baby, big chubby face, and nice little hairline. Still a little bald, but nice chubby face. Always smiling. But what I like about him is I like when he starts groaning for no reason.
Yeah, he makes this like raptor noise. It's just hilarious. He's like growls.
It's like, whoa, where did that come from? You better keep an eye on him.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah, but it's always fun to see a little baby. And he certainly loves you. Every time he looks at you, he just cracks a big smile. So it's very cool to see the circle of life. And I was happily there when Max was born and when Patrick was born. So it's been an interesting 30-some years. And speaking of 30-some years, that puts you right smack in that generation that, I don't know if we all love it, but we love talking about it, that's for sure, the millennials. And so, as I said, Patrick is my millennial meter. I use him to find out what is trending, what is cool with the millennial generation, which is all important now in today's world. But I also need to know what's important because I need to see if I'm still cool. So I use Patrick as my own meter to say what should I be doing or what I'm doing is okay or do I need to change. And I must say that we've been doing this on and off for the last year or so, a couple of years maybe. I really don't think I've taken any of your advice.
Well, you come close. You've tested the beard out. You've done a few
things. I guess I have. I'm trying to think what I have. I mean, I appreciate your input because at least I know. I mean, what's good about it from my standpoint is at least I know, okay, this is what is happening, and at least I now know, okay, I'm making a deliberate decision not to do it as opposed to not even knowing that it exists.
Right.
So at least
this isn't bliss here in this case. You want to know at least the landscape. You know, you want to know where you're at.
Yeah.
Where you can test the waters, where you should stay away from.
Exactly. Because, I mean, some of the stuff is just pure millennial, and I shouldn't be anywhere around it anyway. And if I was, then I would be looked at, I would think, in a weird way, too. As I've said, you know, I remember going to concerts when I was in my 20s and 30s. If somebody in their 40s and 50s came to a concert, I didn't want them there either. Get out of here. So I'm not trying to completely infringe on your millennial lifestyle, but I mean there are moments when I just want to feel at least like I'm not so far out of touch. So we have talked on a variety of things. We've talked about physical things, looks and hair and facial hair, and we've talked about food, and we've talked about wine and beer and social media and all things that millennials have a you know, have either have an opinion on or have, as I said, incorporated not only into their lifestyle, but then made it the cool and trendy thing to do. So right off the bat, I had not seen Patrick in a while, a couple, three, 4 months. And so right off the bat, you were a millennial to me. You were a topic for Millennial Meter without even talking to you. Because as soon as I saw you, and we've talked about this before, so this is a perfect thing. So now Patrick, who you used to have your hair, the hair is very important to the millennial man these days, obviously.
Right.
Now,
right.
For many years, the last couple, 3 years, you have had the very short cropped, even shaved, very close to almost right down to the skin on the side of your head. And then the little kind of, not mohawk, but the little tuft, right? And then the back. Now, what was that called? A full sail or something like that?
Well, actually, it's taken on various names from your end. But from my end, what it's actually called is a low fade.
Low fade. Now, I was telling you, I was at a stop sign, a stoplight a few weeks ago, and I saw there was this barbershop, and the place was called Hall of Fade.
Right.
Instead of Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fade. So now, so the fade, I would assume, is I'm walking around and seeing people and, you know, watching TV and everything. I see that the fade, that kind of shortly cropped hair is, was still in. So I was shocked to see when I saw Patrick, who's always been a full sail or full, what is it? Full shade?
Low fade.
Always, I mean, for the last couple of years, a low fade guy.
Yep.
And here he is smart. With longer hair. The side of your hair completely grown out, even some of it touching your ear.
Yes.
And even it's curling around your lobe.
We call this good. It's good flow. We call this flow now.
What is it called now?
It's like the reaction we're hoping to get here with my hair is like, oh, that kid's got good flow.
Slope? S-O-S?
Flow. Oh, slow, like F-L-O-W. Flow.
Good slow?
Flow.
Good flow. Why? Why? What does that mean? Good flow?
It's slowing back. You can see it.
Oh, like an Adonis. It's flowing like an Adonis running in the Olympics, I guess, right? Yeah.
Correct. Okay. Imagine, Corvette driving down Lake Drive with the flow going back. Exactly.
So the funny thing is that Patrick's father was at this get together when I saw him, and I don't know how long it'd been that your dad had seen you either, because I immediately noticed your hair. And made a comment, and you said, "Yeah, I'm growing it out." And then your dad's like, "Well, wait a minute, how long are you going to grow it?"
Right, he was concerned.
You're not going to grow it to your shoulders, are you?
Yeah, I think there's someone on TV, and he's like, "Is that the length we're talking about here?" I'm like, "No, not that long, but you know, still got a ways to go."
So yeah, a little bit, but it certainly is quite a difference. So when do you think was the last time you had a haircut?
Well, I mean, my barbers are wondering if I'm still alive. Because it's got to be 4 or 5 months. Yeah, since I've even had a touch. I've gotten touched up, like, the neckline, you know, just to kind of...
Yeah, right. But you haven't had any kind of trim at all? No pun intended.
Nothing.
No, I mean... you haven't had even a trim around the ears or anywhere? You've just let it grow naturally?
Yeah, it's in, like... 4 months. Yeah, I've just let it go.
4 months.
It's been going.
And how often had you been going on a regular basis when you had your full sale? How long was that?
I was going, every like 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks.
Wow. 2.5 weeks. Yeah. And that was something that you couldn't do on your own? Like with a clipper?
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, really?
No.
No.
Wow. No. Yeah. No, that was all in the trust of the barber on that one.
So now think about, even from a standpoint, if you went every 2 weeks and you haven't had a haircut now in 4 months, look how much money you saved.
True. That's a great point.
Yeah,
that's
because
a great point. Yeah.
You know, how much per session was your haircut?
You know, the barbershop over at Lake Street Barbering, they had reasonable prices for such good work. It was like, I think it was probably, you know, all in $40 with tip.
Right.
You know?
So once again, so what I love, that's very millennial of you to spend $40 on a haircut. So that's why you're right in there. And what I love is it's not, what is it called? A barbering shop, not a barber shop.
They call it barbering. Yes. Lake Street Barbering. Yeah.
Why? Yeah. This is another thing I've noticed with the millennial generation. Everything has an ing after it now.
Because we're out there doing things. You know?
Oh, so it's active.
Right, right.
Always active. So the ing. Exactly. Oh, that's too funny. That's because one phrase that I've heard recently, which makes me actually gag, and that's an 80s term, just so you know, is now whenever a millennial, by definition, a millennial is clearly in the adult category. They're in their 30s. But I guess it's not cool to really be adult. It's not cool to be adult at all times. It's only good at certain times when you should show some responsibility. And so when those periods happen, apparently it's called adulting. Like
adulting.
I was adulting this weekend. Oh,
right. Yep.
How cool! You mean you were being responsible and normal? I see. But yeah, I've noticed a lot of action verbs, which I never thought though. But once again, being active, doing, very important. So now, how long do you think that you will let your hair? When do you think you're going to go for a haircut?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I mean, I think I got at least another. I want to see what it looks like. Give me June 1.
So when was the last, have you ever had, is this about the longest you think you've ever had your hair in your whole life? Because, I mean, when you were a little kid, you used to have short hair.
Right. Well, I did have the bowl cut, the standard, like, skater cut is what we called it when I was probably, like, in, like 10 years old.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, in your early 20s, you sort of had it a little longer, but not like this.
Yeah. No, when I was playing baseball at Northern, I had a little bit longer hair underneath the cap. Because, again, you had to have good flow then.
Good flow. So now, are you trying to, are you ahead of the trend on this? Or where are you in terms of your peer group? Do you notice more guys with longer hair now?
Okay, let's just say this. There's been some outside influence on where I've gotten this idea from. But I think I'm right at the brink. I think you're going to see a lot more dudes going with the flow this summer.
Why did you go from fade to flow?
I needed the change. You know, I think it was like, you know what? I've been doing this. I was doing like we talked about the low fade. I think I was an early adapter to that. Had that for a while, and then I was like, you know what? Like, I've been doing this for a long time. Let's see how this goes.
And what kind of reaction have you gotten?
I would say strong.
Yeah.
Positive.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think it's a little like with family. It's been like, whoa, wait, long hair now. Like,
well, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how long you're going to go, but I have to say that I usually wear my hair the same. I've worn my hair the same way for decades already. It's easy and it's nice and it's neat, and I don't have to futz around with it. Now, when I was in my 20s, the whole mohawk thing. And a version of the fade, like you're talking about, that was in.
Okay.
But I never got that.
And you had,
okay. I never, one time I got that, not as bad, not down to the skin, but just a little, and I didn't really like it. And so I never got that. So, you know, so it's been interesting now to see, you know, to see you now go from this kind of thing that I always thought that was a little. It was funny is that, you know, that whole thing started with the punk rockers in the 70s with the mohawk,
Sure.
And then it got a little, so instead of it, you know, so the way you had it was not as just as fierce looking or as, you know, kind of, you know, in your face. It was more styled,
right.
Even though
right.
It was still the same kind of thing. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how long your hair goes just to see where you think it looks cool. And like I said, ever since I saw you now, I've been looking around to see, okay, now Where's the hair going? Are we done? Because now I'm just thinking that Hall of Fade is going to have to change its name, that barbering shop that I saw.
Hall of Flow?
Yeah, it's going
to have to figure out something.
Yeah, exactly. And now I also noticed.
Flow of Seagulls?
Now, there you go. That's very 80s retro.
Yeah, there you go.
The Flow of Seagulls. That's actually not bad.
Coming back.
That's not bad. So they're playing at Ravinia this summer anyway, too. The Flock. And the Flock of Seagulls. That would actually be, you know, now that you say that, would be actually a great idea because their whole band was based on their bad haircuts.
Right. There you go.
The guy had this.
Get relevant again.
Yeah, he had this bad swooping thing with a lot of mousse and everything. And
it was like pink, right? Or was that just.
What's that? No.
Was it pink? Did you have hair pink? No, I'm thinking somebody else.
Yeah, no, someone else. But so the other part that I thought was interesting, we actually got together last week for dinner, which if we have time, I want to talk about that. But I did notice you are now, what, 32, almost 33 in September, right?
Yeah, correct.
And I've noticed, interestingly enough, a few little grays in the beard.
Yeah. I know. That's like anti-millennial, I think. I'm like right at the edge there.
But yeah.
Yeah. In the beard and in the on the sides of the
Said
haircut.
Oh, do you have it like by your temples?
Subtle. Yeah, subtle there on the sides.
Because your dad was prematurely gray. He's been gray for quite a while. So it'll be interesting to see if that happens. As I said, I am a proud user of Just for Men.
Right.
But you said right now at this period you're gonna let the gray stay in it for a while.
Right. Well, we know where you and I differ on the Just for Men. You know, we don't have to revisit that. That was a previous millennial meter. But I'm anti, and I will be gray, salt and pepper all the way.
Oh, really? So you will never because let's say, well wait until, well, I can't wait for you to for it to happen though.
Right.
Then I want to see what you
said now.
It's easy to say that because, like I said, my temples are completely gray. In reality, and when I've seen those, I go oof. Now I got 20 years on you, so I mean, I can't wait another 15 years for you. I want to see if you can start asking me where do you buy your. Where do you buy your just? Right. Where do you buy your Just for Men? Because
hey, can I score some Just for Men?
Come on, Joe. Or just as I like to call it, JFM.
JFM.
That's a code name. If you ever need some, just say Jim JFM, and I'll be right there.
Right on a piece of paper, slide it across the table.
Yeah. So, very, very interesting to see you with the longer hair, but very millennial of you. Once again, very conscious. Of your look as always, and so that will be interesting to see how the hair continues. So you said June 1st. I can't wait to see if I see you before June or after June to see if you've gone to the barbering shop or if right. You've continued to put your barbering guy out of business. Think of that poor guy. That's like 8 weeks. I mean, that's
where is he?
That's you every 2 weeks. That's what? I'm horrible at math, but that's a lot of $40 that you haven't given him.
That's a decent amount, but you know, I gave him some referrals who are still going there, so I think I can at least sleep at night.
Yeah. So here's another thing that I found interesting. So I went to Patrick's place, and we saw his son. And then I noticed another very millennial, which I've talked about in the past, but now it seems as if it's a little more present for you. So I walk into his house, and the first thing I see on the ledge are two vinyl albums.
That's right.
Sitting there being very noticeable. Screaming to say, look at me. They are in a spot that is designed to be noticed. So clearly you are on the vinyl bandwagon, or at the very least, you are offering the perception that you are into vinyl. And sure enough, with a little exploring around, I noticed that you had a record player. Or what I loved is your brother-in-law, Sam, who is a couple years younger than you. He referred to the turntable as a vinyl player.
A vinyl player.
He goes, "Is that one of those vinyl players?" And I said, "Oh my God." And I said, "Well, first of all, it's either a record player or a turntable, but it is not a vinyl player." But then I was thinking, that makes sense because you have a CD player for CDs. And nowadays, since this vinyl explosion started 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, nobody is, for some reason, it's vinyl. It's not a record. When I was growing up, we never called them vinyl. It was okay. even on the ads, when there was a new album that came out, it said available on record and tape. It never said vinyl and tape. It was record. Okay. These were records. These were not vinyl. So I think, first of all, there's some weird snobbery going around with vinyl, the word. That's cool. And it was recently Record Store Day, which I did go to a couple of my favorite stores. And if so, but here's what I want to say. So what I was interested to find that I don't know how big your vinyl. So how do you have any vinyl collection, or were those two your first vinyls?
Those were my first two.
So you have no other vinyl albums anywhere in your life. Nowhere.
Zero.
Isn't that wild? So those are the first.
I have two.
What's that?
But actually, I have two. As you saw, that's it.
Right. But that's it. Yeah. So there's you don't have any hidden away, and even your mom and dad probably don't have any, right?
No, they definitely
don't. Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. So I was interested to see. So the first two vinyls. Now, where did you buy these two vinyls, if you will?
Oh, you'll love this. I got Rumors from the place where I bought the record player.
Your vinyl player.
My vinyl player. Yeah. Like, all right, I'll take that. I mean, I need something here.
Right. So. You got to test out your vinyl player.
Yeah, exactly. And then Bob Seger, I actually found in the basement of my place. So it needed a home, so I figured I'd give it a good.
Oh, so you didn't even buy. So yeah, I should say. He's got Rumors by Fleetwood Mac, one of the biggest albums of all time, and then he's got Stranger in Town, one of the great Bob Seger albums of the 70s. He's got Hollywood Nights on there. My favorite song off that album is called "The Favorite Final Scene." Famous final scene. Oh. That's my favorite song.
I'll have to check that out.
But I do
have this too. I do have a friend who has purchased me a couple more vinyls.
Oh yeah, what do you got now?
I don't have it in my possession yet, but there's a Bruce album.
Which one?
And then there's a, you know, I don't know. there's a Bruce album. There's a Eagles album that has like One of These Nights on it. It might be One of These Nights.
Oh yeah, that's the name of the album. Yeah, that's the name of the album. Okay.
Yeah,
it's got the big eagle, the eagle skull on there, like the.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I have a couple more coming my way.
Interesting is that not only are you buying vinyl, which is fine, but then you're buying all these 70s. Why all these 70s groups?
Well, I mean, growing up with you, and then my parents, you know, that was the first. That kind of music was the first thing that got me so into music.
Yeah, but you like music. I mean, why aren't you buying more contemporary stuff? Why aren't you buying? You always were a big fan of Dave Matthews Band. Why aren't you buying any Dave Matthews vinyl?
Yeah, I mean, that was because Dennis and Dave was like something I was into, a long time ago, and I feel like part of the music. I think the whole thing with like this nostalgic trend that's happening, especially among millennials, is that if you want to experience vinyl. Experience the music that was first produced
on vinyl,
and then expand from there. Yeah.
Okay. Well, just so you know, there was vinyl long before the 70s. So you should be buying, Glenn Miller and Elvis and Little Richard. And
right.
It was more the 70s, but I didn't know that. So amongst your peer group, do you find yourself, if you're by someone's house or you're doing something, I mean, is it more like 70s acts, 70s bands?
I think it depends. You know, I think the idea visually is like you get that, like, the idea of like a smoky room with a record player on, like in the 70s, you know, like in like LA.
Well, yeah, somewhere. But it depends on what kind of smoke. Wait a minute. I got news for you. Even though it's going to be legal here soon, I mean that was most of the smoke that was going on in those basements.
Right. Yeah, I think that's like that visual is part of like the whole thing why it makes it, you know, somewhat cool and trendy.
So it has nothing to do with the music. It's more of the visual. You just want to, because I mean, and once again, I'm not giving you a hard time. Well, I am, but what I loved is, I mean, as soon as you walked in, the first thing I saw were those two albums.
Right.
I didn't even notice you if you had a couch.
Yeah, right. To be truthful, I need somewhere to put it. So I was like, all right, yeah. I'll just throw it here.
No. Well, what's so funny?
It is funny.
Yeah, now I had at least 500-600 albums, and I still have several bins. And as I said, now, so the best part is I said to Patrick, I said, well, you know, I've got all these, this vinyl that I've, some of my favorites that I, even though I gave a lot away and I sold some back, you know, to use record stores, and some I just threw out many years ago because vinyl was just this, it was dead. It was completely gone. 10 or 15 years ago. What I love about the vinyl explosion here, and it's great that, you know, from a nostalgic standpoint, the millennials are embracing this and you want to get into it, and it's more of this experience that's tactile. You can touch it, and you've got the album art. And I understand that because you grew up with the CD, and then that morphed right into the MP3 and the whole iPod generation. So, you know, you've been used to a digital format for most of your life. When you were born is when CDs first were really introduced and really became popular in the mid-80s. So I understand that, and I'm glad to see that you...
Right.
I mean, but what I love, though, is... I'm sorry. The things that the CD improved on, they're still better than vinyl. It's a pain in the butt to get up and change the record after 5 songs. It
right.
still hisses and hums and crackles and pops. So what I love is there's this nostalgia thing going on, especially by people my age and definitely older, about, oh, vinyl. Oh, I love vinyl, and it sounds warmer. And oh, but the truth that they don't want to admit is anybody my age or older, baby boomers who are talking about how great vinyl is, they killed it. Baby boomers killed vinyl. They couldn't get rid of their vinyl albums fast enough. When CDs came out, they threw their album. The record stores couldn't even keep up. The record labels couldn't even keep up. Everybody wanted to replicate their vinyl collections on CD, and they threw their vinyl albums away. It was like a plague. And that's what I love. Now I'm hearing all these people go, you know, the older people my age are all, especially a little older, oh, vinyl. Oh, it's so cool, man. And it's like, you killed it!
And you're responsible for that.
You're responsible! So now I think they feel like they're in purgatory, that they got to burn off their sins because they gave in to the temptation of the CD. I'm sorry, but the CD still sounds crisper and clearer. It's much more convenient. It's easier to carry it around. I used to disc jockey at parties and at events, and me and the guy Mick, who's on my podcast a lot of times, we used to carry at least 15 peach crates of albums that we were dying, they were so heavy. Now a DJ goes with an iPod and just hits a play button.
Yeah,
so I understand the nostalgia of it, but the same thing as to why the CD was an improvement on vinyl, it still is. I understand the coolness of it and all that. I get the nostalgia, but some of these people are, you know, that are, oh, it's so vinyl. And once again, the younger people, I get you. I understand why you do it. It's interesting. It's kind of cool. It looks better. It's fun to touch the album and pull it out and, you know, pictures and lyrics, and you could actually read the lyrics, and, you know, like I said, it's tactile. Right. But people my age or older, we killed vinyl. We killed it.
Right.
No, there is no argument about that. We destroyed it.
Are you saying, Jim, that the millennials actually have some kind of a plus up on your generation here?
Well, I still think that you guys are just trying to be cool, and in 2 years from now, you're not going to play a vinyl album anymore. Again, when I go to your place, it's not going to be hanging out anymore.
Okay.
I mean, you guys have no attention. No, you have no attention span. So I'm not expecting this to go on. This is more, I'm condemning more people of my generation and older, the older baby boomers who are now pretending like, oh, I told you vinyl was cool. No, you killed vinyl. Baby boomers, video killed the radio star, and baby boomers killed the vinyl record. And it's that simple. And there's no way anyone can argue that point. Whew. Now, that said... you are certainly welcome to look at my vinyl. If there's some that I don't feel like giving, that I'm not overly attached to, you certainly have those. Or what I think we should do, I've got a favorite record store right near my house called Val's Halla in Oak Park that sells old and new records, and we should just go there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in.
Yeah, and I've got some credit there, so I will treat you to whatever you need.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And then, so, see, that's part of the millennial thing too. We want to experience things. But yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah. So you'll be recording or vinyling.
Yeah. Exactly.
So do you have time or do you have to go?
I got a couple more minutes.
Okay. So let me just finish off then here. I met with Patrick a couple of weeks ago, and we went out to dinner. And so I was going to the City Winery here in Chicago to see Mighty Max. That's why I call his son Mighty Max. Mighty Max Weinberg, the drummer of the E Street Band, and he was also on the Conan O'Brien show. And now that Bruce has been doing a solo show on Broadway for the last year or so, Max Weinberg has put together a very cool show called Max Weinberg's Jukebox, where him and a nice set of really good bar band musicians, they just play these smaller venues, and it's very interactive. There's a list of songs up on a video screen, and Max just comes out with a microphone and walks into the crowd. I mean, I don't know how many people are at the City Winery, maybe 400 or 500. I don't even think if there's that many. And so people are just yelling out suggestions. So it's really a fun time. And if you love old, because it's mostly older rock songs from the 60s and 70s. So millennials would love it.
Right, exactly.
They love 70s music now. Although I have a bone to pick. Before I leave this, let me ask you a question. So here's the thing. I'm nice to hear that you've got a Bruce Springsteen album on the way, even though you don't know what it is. Since I took
you, and say it's Darkness on the Edge of Town, but I don't think.
Oh, is it Darkness? Okay, that's a good one. Even though I took you to see the River tour a couple years ago,
not the River.
Yeah, it should be.
I don't think.
No,
maybe it's.
Well, the River is double album, but anyway. But okay. So here's the thing: when you turn 16, so I'd like to ask you this question: since you're so proudly displaying your vinyl as a hipster millennial, not only is it a design element. Interior design element, but it's also you could actually play it on your vinyl player. But when you were 16, if you recall, so I hope to God you still have these. When you were 16, I bought you 20 or 30 CDs. Do you remember that?
Oh, of course I remember that, yes.
So I bought you about, I can't remember how many there were, and I wish I would have written down the whole list I gave you, because it was a damn good list, but I'd love to know what it was now. I can't remember. But my whole idea there was, you know, I know you're going to be into all different kinds of music as you get older, but here is some of the foundational music that any kind of rock and roll record collection, or at that time, CD collection, because there was no such thing as vinyl.
No.
I can't remember how many I gave you, maybe 20 or 25. And I remember there was Sergeant Pepper, and I think The River was in there, and I think Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, and there was Elvis, and I can't remember though. I think Who's Next was in there, of The Who.
I think there's the Eagles in there. It was like the essentials.
So now I'm just wondering. I mean, I know you're super into vinyl, which is great for the moment. Mm-hmm. But do you still have your CDs?
Oh yeah, I still have those. Yep. I have them in like one of those old school like five star binders, like with the.
Okay.
The album, I would slide the album, you know, from take it out of the CD case and the booklet. I'd slide it in there and then put the CD in front of it.
So what do you have? So you don't have the jewel cases anymore. You just have the booklet and the CDs.
Yes, the booklet and the CDs. Yep.
So you got rid of the jewel cases then, right?
Yeah, I don't have those.
Oh wow,
recycled those.
Wow. Oh, how millennial of you.
Right.
You know what I did with them? Threw them out.
Yeah, I'm sure they're in a...
Big pile of... with my plastic bottles. Just threw them out.
Right.
But at least, so you still have those, do you?
I still have them, yes. Don't listen to them, because I don't even have a CD player.
Well, what you should do then... So here, Patrick. Go back to that book that I gave you...
Yep.
Of those CDs and buy those on vinyl.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yep.
I mean, if that's what you want to do, if you're gonna be a vinyl guy, then you need, just as when CDs came out and we got rid of our albums and duplicated what we had on vinyl on CD, you now have to do the opposite. You've got to duplicate what you had on CD on vinyl.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
See, my problem is, I mean, I just want to get to what was great about that collection you gave me. It was like the essentials. And like, that's all I really want for a vinyl collection. Like, I want the essentials and maybe like one new modern album that I really dig. But like, other than that, I don't want to go crazy. Because I have all my songs on Apple Music or Spotify. I mean, like, that's where the accessibility is for my library. But I agree. I think I get the essentials on vinyl discs as I have in CD.
Yeah. So, and like I said, I may have some doubles of those, so we'll see. But if we do get together to do the thing, bring your little book.
Okay.
Of all your CDs, and then we can go through them and decide what to get. So anyway, so that's the thing. So we can actually bond over this, even though, as I said, I'm not fully in the vinyl world, because I still find the convenience of a CD or even the iPod, which you turned me on to.
I remember that.
I mean, you turned me on to. Yeah, you turned me on to the iPod. And I use my iPod all the time. I even have it hooked up into my entire stereo system so that I can play my iPod over my giant speakers. So
that's right.
Yeah.
That was key. Because you have how many songs in that thing and how many albums?
24,000 songs.
24,000 songs.
Yeah, that's like incredible. 23.6, I think. But I round up. So finally, before I let you go here, so I got together with Patrick, and I was going to City Winery, and he is in the neighborhood. So he said, well, why don't we get together before the show, and we can get a bite to eat before. And so he named this place called the Kaiser Tiger. So, of course, I went online to look it up to see what I was going to have. And before you even said it, I was like, wow, this is a millennial foodies like hangout. I mean, this is millennial to the max.
Yeah, 100%.
Now it wasn't as millennial when we went, because it was a Tuesday night. It was still snowing. Right. It was cold.
Yeah, it was snowing. Yeah.
But I could only imagine in the summer. The place has a beer garden. It's got a beautiful bar in the middle, and the food was really good. I was very impressed with it. In fact, I'd have to go. I don't know if I could go back. I don't know if they'll let me in. Because that place is the kind of place that I think that I would get carded so that I could not get in.
Right.
You know?
How old are you?
Yeah. I mean, usually they card you
How young are you?
Yes, if you're old enough to get in. But I think that place, they card you. And if you're too old, they don't let you in. So I might not be able to get in, but I was saying, so it was so funny. So then when I said to Pej, I said, so what's the name of this place and where is it? And so he's describing it. And you even said, you prefaced it by saying, oh my God, it is such a millennial place.
Yeah, it's like, brace yourself. It is so very millennial.
But it wasn't, I mean, at this point, any place you go to now, whether you go to a restaurant, whether you go to a Starbucks, whether you go to a grocery store, most likely the person at the checkout is going to have at least one piercing and at least three tattoos. So at this point, that's not even strange anymore.
Right.
So, I mean, the bartender, she had, you know, she had at least two tattoos that I saw. And at this point, and Patrick has a tattoo. So at this point, I mean, tattoos now are, you know, it's going to be interesting in 25 years when all of your skin start to, to get slacky and get a little more gravity to them. And there's going to be a lot of ugly tattoos out there. But hey, for right now, everybody's skin is nice and taut, you know.
Hey, we're hoping by that time there's some kind of cure for that.
Yeah, I mean, right now Patrick has this giant lake scene on his forearm, and right now that lake looks like you can walk on it. Like you could take a quarter and skip a quarter or like a flat rock on that lake, and it would skip 7, 8, 10 times. But in right. 20 years from now, that's going to look like a gully. That's going to look like a giant, like, pond that's half empty.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of exposed shoreline that's not there now.
Right. It has something to do with global warming. We can just blame it on that.
Yeah. But... But anyway, so what I loved was that, and I've gave him a hard time. So we went there. We had a very good meal, of course. I allowed Patrick to order all the craft beers because, that's his thing. You love beer.
I do.
You love your craft beer and your IPO.
Part of my job as well.
Right. And yep. Your IPOs and all those other, what is that? IPAs.
Yep.
And all his craft, and every beer that we got came in a different kind of glass because one should be sipped and another one should be sniffed and another one should be gulped and another one. And oh my goodness. And what I found interesting now, so I need to get your opinion on this because I saw this story, but I want to see if this is just a manufactured thing. So I've been into wine for 25 years. I've been into wine for many, many years. And that's my drink of choice. But now I saw two things that bothered me, and I think I mentioned this last time we got together. Patrick had rosé at his place, which scares the hell out of me. Because rosé, like white Zinfandel, is basically alcoholic Kool-Aid.
Depending on the region.
Not real wine, at least in my book. But now rosé is the big deal. In the millennial world, you see it on all the... that used to be a joke. Rosé wine was a joke. Boone's Farm and all these... It was the cheapest wine because it was more fruity than it was. There was very low alcohol content. It wasn't hard to make. And it was always the cheapest wine. If you were a teenager, you got some rosé because it was easy to find. It was cheap and you can get a quick, buzz on it. But now the millennials, for whatever reason, because it wasn't cool, that's another thing I noticed. You guys love to take something that wasn't cool and then make it cool. So right. Are you a rosé drinker for sure, or are you just, is it good to have a glass in your hand?
I think it's completely occasion-based.
Occasion-based. And what is the occasion for a millennial rosé? Could I ask what the occasion is?
Sure. Yeah, I'll give a shout out to City Winery, which is where you went for the show. But the one on the river, the Chicago River there, I don't know if you've been there, but it's, nice seating right along the river.
Yeah.
If it's an 85 degree day and you're sitting along the river, that's a good occasion for like a single glass of rosé.
Oh.
And I like rosé that's, I like the sparkling rosé versus like the flat rosé.
Oh my God, that's even worse.
Yeah, that's
not even wine. Now it's not even Kool-Aid. Now you're drinking LaCroix with alcohol
even
in it.
Better.
Oh.
Hey, there's an idea.
Well, the funny thing is, so I came to Patrick's house. We came to Patrick's house to visit, and so I brought him. My favorite wine is Zinfandel, not white Zinfandel. That's not wine to me. The original Zinfandel is a red, hardy, dry red wine. Zinfandel. Everybody thinks it's white Zinfandel, but it's not. It's Zinfandel. So the funny thing is, I brought over. I said, here's a real bottle of wine. I'm bringing you. You know, to drink. And then the best part was that I was the only one who drank it.
Right.
I drank that whole bottle. Jamie, my wife and I, Elton, Jamie and me, we drank the whole bottle. You didn't even have any.
No, right. Right. It was gone.
Well, I mean, it was sitting there. I'm like, okay, he's going to. But what I loved is you had the apple cider, which I like, the hard cider, but there was a rosé.
Right.
Flavor.
Yeah, I remember. Right.
Yeah.
I remember the rosé flavor. That's right.
Yeah, I wanted to just toss that out the window when I saw it. But do you notice that
albums.
Do you notice that more women are drinking? Because according to an article I saw that women, millennial women, are driving the wine industry right now, like 60%, 65%. So when you go out and you're with a bunch of group of people, do you notice that your millennial women peers are ordering wine, or are they still ordering beer? What are they ordering?
Yeah, I think it's wine. Yeah, it's a lot of rosé still. Wine I think is still kind of driving that. And then I think like I think it's still occasion based. Like if you're at a restaurant for brunch, I see mimosas still, but then if you're doing like an early dinner, wine for sure. But like still.
So when do I drink? Like so when do I drink a craft beer then?
That's the thing. Craft beer. We're trying to take away some of that share. So I think you're seeing things like these sessionable IPAs where you can drink a couple beers during the day, and you're not feeling too buzzed up by the time 6 o'clock rolls around for dinner. So and then swimming pairing with beer is big now too. We're figuring out that a lot of times you can pair a beer just as well as you can pair a wine, or if not better, with certain foods. So, they're getting in there, like you're seeing like sour beers that really kind of are a nice step over for people who like wine into beer. I've seen a lot more girls ordering that too with the sours. So I think it kind of, especially if the person's into wine. So I think that's the occasion. And again, it really depends on your, if you're into, the IPA craze, which has been so key for so long, people are used to that bitter flavor and now are a little bit, I think, burnt out by it. So you're seeing more balance introduced to beers, I think, so which allows for more opportunity to drink beer,
And I've noticed now at restaurants and some bars, they even have, just like they would have if you go to a winery, and they would have a flight of wines, which means about three or four different, small portions that are more there for tasting. Now they're doing that with beer. They're having flights of beers at bars or restaurants where you can order three or four small portions of beer and get a different taste.
Yeah, and that's a great way to, get people, I've done that with my dad before. I think we've done it together, but, get an idea of where you sit. You might get a stout, you might get an IPA, you get a lager, you get a sour, and you're like, okay, I really fall into the lager pilsner category, and that's where you kind of can stick. And then you can still, there's so many options now you can explore within that space. You can be like, all right, who's making this pilsner? Okay, this is a hoppy pilsner. Cool. It's a nice mix of, the IPA meets the pilsner. So that's a good way to do it. And they've done that really well with wine, and they're even doing that with whiskey now, which is...
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, whiskey now is making a comeback. In fact, I saw as anybody knows who listens to me or follows my Facebook page, I have a tradition on New Year's or on Christmas Eve to drink Maker's Mark. And I love... Right. And so now I saw a really cool commercial on. So it looks like they're starting to advertise more, because now I'm seeing a lot more commercials for whiskeys. So now are the millennials moving into more? I know they were, 5 or 6 years ago, it was the whole Martini Cosmo thing, and that was the big deal. are now whiskeys and a little harder, you know, like the cocktails, like the Tom Collins's were all popular. But now I'm noticing more beers, craft beers, and then whiskeys too.
Yeah, I think for sure. I mean, in the city, especially in Chicago, there's been, you know, we've been known for cocktail bars for a long time, and I think people are still interested in that. And now, like the it's like, you know, there's a gin specific bar, there's a rum specific bar now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like people are getting really specific on like what their likes are. I think like the old fashioned, like the the bourbon based, whiskey based cocktails are still doing really well, especially like steakhouses and stuff like that. But like really getting specific about which cocktails and doing those really, really well, which I think is interesting. You're also seeing like low ABV cocktails becoming popular again because people, again, like it was kind of like people when they first get into craft beer cocktails are like, all right, give me, you know, I want a Manhattan, or I want an old fashioned, I want a bitter IPA. And I think now as like people have been exploring, they're like, all right, let's like tone down all the big flavors and big, you know, high alcoholic stuff. Let's kind of tone down on that. So there's actually a place in West Loop called Bad Hunter that like specializes in low ABV cocktails.
Oh, well, like I said, whenever I go out with Patrick, you know, he's the beer connoisseur. So I just, like I said, I showed up a couple minutes after he did, and he was already had his beer ordered. And when I came down, sat down, I said, give me what he's having. And then he ordered another one. I just give me what he's having. And to the point there, one time, if you remember, you steered me to a beer that I liked so much that I was on my own, and I went to a liquor store. And I couldn't remember the name, and I called you up.
Yeah, I remember.
To find out, where is that beer that I had? I can't find it.
Yeah, so, I do remember that.
Yeah, so anyway.
Always here for you, Jim, always.
That's the key. And thank you for being here with me today on the podcast. Always fun to chat. Interestingly, my millennial meter, I will never drink rosé. But we will definitely go to the vinyl store. It's not a record store. We'll go to the vinyl store. We'll go to the vinyl store, and I don't know. When I was a little kid, I always had real long hair. So maybe I'll start to maybe I'll actually have it go past my ear.
Yeah, do the beard and the long hair for summer. That would be yeah. That'd be awesome.
Well, at least I know that's an option. That's the whole point of the Millennial Meter with my godson here, Patrick Minogue. So thank you for checking in. And the next time I expect to see more gray in your beard, longer hair, and vinyl coming out of your door.
Exactly. Running a record shop out of my place.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Use records, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Mighty Max's Use Records. There you go.
There you go.
All right, Patrick, have a good one. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
All right, take care. And that wraps up episode 102 of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted right there for you. Thank you for your loyalty. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. Hope you had a good time. I certainly did. This has been Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.